Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare.
Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivartakacharya Sathira Sathya Shishimachi Dandiyo Swami Shri Esi Bhakti Vranta Swami Shri Prabhupada Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivartakacharya Sathira Sathya Shishimachi Shila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur Shila Prabhupada Kijai Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai Istan Founder in Charge Shila Prabhupada Kijai Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakura Ki Jai. Tain Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Mali Ki Jai, Moon Mali Ki Jai, Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Bhakti Dev Ki Jai, Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
And we're supposed to read through text 21. Right? That's what I was told. Anyway. Although they all have purport, so that'll be a little interesting. I'm going to bring out my. Okay. Now read this. Gamparyatan madhyavikta vritti.
Gamparyatan madhyavikta vritti.
Sada Pluto Da Chayanova Duta. Alakshita Svaya Avadhuta Veshu.
Alakshita Svaya Avadhuta
Veshu. Vratani Chede Hodito Shanani.
Vratani Chede Hodito Shanani.
Gampayatam Medya Vivitska Vritti. Sada Pluto da Shayanova Tuta.
Sada Pluto da Shayanova Tuta.
Alakshita Svaya Avadhuta Veshu.
Alakshita Svaya Avadhuta Veshu.
Ratani Chere Purito Shanani.
Ratani Chere. Traversing. Traversing.
Medya.
Medya.
Pure.
Pure.
Vivictivity.
Vivictivity.
Independent occupation for living.
Independent occupation for living.
Sada.
Sada.
Always.
Always.
Aputa.
Aputa.
Sanctify.
Sanctify.
Adaha.
Adaha.
On the earth.
On the earth.
Shayana.
Shayana.
Lying.
Lying.
Avadhutaha.
Without dressing of the hair, etc.
Alakshita.
Alakshita.
Without being seen.
Without being seen.
Sahi.
Sahi.
Alone. Avadhutavesha.
Avadhutavesha.
Dressed like a mendicant.
Dressed like a mendicant.
Ratani.
Ratani.
Vow.
Vows.
Chere.
Chere.
Perform.
Hodito
Shanan,
Hodito Shanan,
that pleased the Lord.
That pleased the Lord.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, St. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
While so traversing the earth, he simply performed duties to please the Supreme Lord, Hari. His occupation was pure and independent. He was constantly sanctified by taking his bath in holy places. Although he was in the dress of a mendicant and had no hairdressing nor a bed on which to lie, thus he was always unseen by his various relatives. Report. The first and foremost duty of a pilgrim is to satisfy the Supreme Lord Hari. While traveling as a pilgrim, one should not be worried about pleasing society. There is no need to depend on social formalities or occupation or dress. One should remain always absorbed in the function of pleasing the Lord. Thus sanctified by thought and action, one is able to realize the Supreme Lord by the process of a pilgrim's journey. So, I was given two more verses to read, so I'll do that without the additional participation. Ah, yes, 20 and 21. Itam vrajan bharatam eva varsham kalena yavad gatavan prabhasam tavach chashasa chitum eka chakram ekat patram achitena pata. Thus, when he was in the land of Bharatvarsha, traveling to all the places of pilgrimage, he visited Pravasha Khetra. At that time, Maharaj Yudhisthira was the emperor and held the world under one military strength and one flag. Purport. More than 5,000 years ago, while Saint Vidura was traveling the earth as a pilgrim, India was known as Bharatvarsha, as it is known even today. The history of this of the world cannot give any systematic account for more than 3,000 years into the past. But before that, the whole world was under the flag and military strength of Maharaj Yudhisthira, who was the emperor of the world. At present, there are hundreds and thousands of flags flapping in the United Nations. But during the time of Vidura, there was, by the grace of Ajita, Lord Krishna, only one flag. The nations of the world are very eager to attain having one, to again have one state under one flag. But for this, they must seek the favor of Lord Krishna, who alone can help us become one worldwide nation. One world. Text 21. Tatratu sudrava suriddinashtim vanam yatha venu javani samchayam samspataya dagdamatanuvas socham sarasvatim pratyagyaya. At the place of pilgrimage at Prabhas, it came to his knowledge that all his relatives had died due to violent passion, just as an entire forest burns due to fire produced by the friction of bamboos. After this, he proceeded west, where the river Saraswati flows. Report. Both the Kauravas and the Yadavas were relatives of Vidura, and Vidura heard of their extinction due to fratricidal war. The comparison of the friction of forest bamboos to that of passionate human societies is appropriate. The whole world is compared to a forest. At any moment, there may be a flare-up of fire in the forest due to friction. No one goes to the forest to set it on fire, except
sometimes in America. Anyway.
But due only to friction between bamboos, fire takes place and burns an entire forest. Similarly, in the greater forest of worldly transaction, the fire of war takes place because of the violent passion of the conditioned souls illusioned by the external energy. Such a worldly fire can be extinguished only by the water of the mercy cloud of saints. Just as a forest fire can be extinguished only by rains falling from a cloud. So much to speak of today. We began today's verses and purports with hearing about this pilgrim's journey, Vidura, the exemplary pilgrim for us in many ways. Although following him is not easy. As we've heard here, just first of all, let us reflect on the circumstances which have led Vidura to enter into this pilgrimage. As we know, Vidura was born, and is called in some of the previous verses, King Vidura, because of his royal heritage. Although his birth was somewhat unusual, as was the birth of his brothers, Pandu and Dhritarashtra. In my preparation, I came across a term that I hadn't heard that describes this process. It's called Niyoga. Niyoga, which is the system that if both husband or wife, if either is unable to generate progeny, then one or the other can take a suitable, surrogate, which we have today even, isn't it? There are surrogate fathers and surrogate mothers who perhaps they use some mechanical means to effect contraception. But the same process was utilized in those days, and the great Vyasadeva was chosen to complete this Niyoga process for the wives of Vichitavirya, right? Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yes, Vichitavirya. So as we know, when one of those wives, and that is her name I don't remember, was faced with Vedavyas and his very special countenance, she became afraid and closed her eyes. And thus Dhritarashtra was born blind. When the other wife approached Vedavyas, she realized I can't close my eyes, but she was still very afraid and she became white with fear. And thus Pandu was born, pale. The other wives, who don't remember their names either, they figured, let's send our maidservant, she'll take it, she'll, in our place. So this is a double Niyoga, I guess, or whatever. And thus, but this maidservant, whose name I also forget, I don't know the maidservant,
She had a, I read the name this morning, but you know, I can't hardly remember the names of my friends. Let's just think of the names of these personalities. That's age, right? But so she was a devotee, and she had no fear. In fact, she was honored and just so felt so much grace to have this service of bearing a child from the illustrious Vedavyas, and thus Vidura. And Vidura, as we know, received Krishna's mercy throughout his life. He was, of course, Pandu departed early, and Dhritarashtra was left to look after Pandu's sons, as well as his own sons. And we know of all of the strife that took place in Dhritarashtra's mentality. But Vidura remained in that assembly as the wise counsel. And we hear how when Krishna himself came to the court of Hastinapur, whereas Duryodhana was expecting and preparing, he prepared such an elaborate feast and palace for Krishna to occupy. Krishna doesn't even go to step foot in it. Goes straight to the home of Vidura, whose wife, overwhelmed with love for Krishna, that wonderful story, is preparing. They're not expecting. They're not at all expecting Krishna. Krishna is expected to go to the palace prepared for him by Duryodhana. That's the protocol. But he ignores this completely and walks straight in, unannounced, he didn't call ahead. He didn't send anyone. I guess he knocked on the door. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he just opened the door and just walked right in. Here I am. Krishna. Overwhelmed with love. We hear how the wife of Vidura wants to offer him something, but all she has is some bananas. And she begins peeling the bananas, and here you are, and offers the peels of the banana to Krishna. And Krishna accepts those peels and eats them with relish. This is the relationship of Krishna with Vidura. Vidura's counsel is not heeded. In so many instances, he was the only one, along with, I think there was one other, who objected in the crooked assembly of the dice match to the disrobing of Draupadi. Even Dhritarashtra did not object. And finally, although Vidura counsels again and again, give this up! Dhritarashtra, give this up! There's no hope! He addresses him in strong words. And again, Duryodhana is right there, as he was in other instances, insulting Vidura. Look at the character of Duryodhana. Vidura, the wise counsel of the assembly, his senior in so many ways, and yet he insults him. Oh, you degraded son of a maidservant. Hitting Vidura, it is described that the words of Duryodhana entered into the heart of Vidura like arrows piercing. And yet, Vidura's response, this is Krishna's mercy. This is Krishna's mercy. Now I'm free. Now I am free. Till then, he considered, I am duty bound. to give counsel, to assist my brothers. My brother Pandu is gone, but my brother Dhritarashtra is here. It's my duty to try, to assist, to help, to try to get him on the right path. And finally, he said, it is hopeless. He lays his bow at the door and walks out. He walks out. And we see how he walks as a pilgrim. He leaves everything and becomes a pilgrim. He leaves everything. He leaves the shirt off his back, practically. I was reminded of our Srila Prabhupada. How, faced with the enormous challenge he had received from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to bring the message of Krishna to the Western world. How he attempted to prepare for that service, that challenge, as he said, and I'm not sure, now I'm quoting from memory, I think it's somewhere in one of the Lilamritas or somewhere. That he said how he planned. He said, well, how will I do this? Well, I have to have money. I'll have to have money to do this. So he went into his business with great vigor and energy. And he was successful. At one point, I believe, he said that I could have been like Tata. He was good, as we know. He was quite expert in business. But then we hear how his business is well, he's thriving, he's opened his branch in Allahabad or Prayag, let's call it the Prayag Pharmacy, doing well on accounts. Nehru himself was one of his clients, I believe. But an opportunity comes in Jhansi to get things started with the League of Devotees. And he begins. And he gets absorbed in this. He gets now things are starting to move. I mean, he'd started the Back to God, and now he's got something. And a building is at hand. And now this is another promising thing. And then a telegram. Everything gone. Everything gone. All the money and all the goods. The entire business finished. I tried to calculate what was the, I think it was 2 lakh, maybe it was just 20,000 rupees, I think, in the cash. And I tried to calculate what was that worth in 1953, I think this was, or 54. And by the price of gold at the time and today, it came to around $200,000. So it was not a small amount. What to speak of all the inventory of his farm. His business was finished. He returned to Calcutta thinking, with the help of my son, maybe I can get it started again. That's not working. And then comes that momentous day. That momentous day where his good wife, who doesn't really get it, what's going on here, later, I think Atita Guna, you spoke to Radharani. Radharani was her name, right? In my memory again. But and she was like, I didn't know. I really didn't know.
She made an offhand comment about, you know, well, first she did something. She sold the Bhagavatams to get some, because they were so poor. Everything was going, they were so poor that she couldn't even afford biscuits for her tea. Couldn't afford biscuits for the tea. So poor. She sold the Bhagavatams, and then he took this, and I was reflecting, in the way like Vidura took the words of Duryodhana. He said, all right, it's tea or me. Jokingly, she said, I'll have my tea. Not thinking that was it. He walked out with just the shirt on his back, without a place to go. That was our Srila Prabhupada. His journey from there was like Vidura's, in a sense. He did travel to pilgrimage places. He went eventually, he settled in Vrindavan, would travel to Kurukshetra, as we've heard, and of course to Mayapur. And then, finally, again, with nothing, he arrives in New York. Now, we're going to hear how Vidura, in the subsequent, and in the progress of his pilgrim's journey, he meets Uddhava. And then, on behest of Uddhava, he meets Maitreya. And we'll then begin to hear the conversation between Maitreya and Vidura, which take us entirely through the rest of this third canto and through the entire fourth canto. I was curious this today. I was, because I'm not a great scholar in these affairs, but I took the time to progress and say, well, because, you know, it's Maitreya Uvacha. Maitreya Uvacha, we're going to hear Maitreya Uvacha many, many times in the next months, practically, as we progress through the third. We're also in New York in the third canto. So we're going to hear Maitreya Uvacha again and again and again as Maitreya relates the Bhagavatam to Vidura. Until finally, and I looked it up, in... the fourth canto, chapter 31, verse 30. Sukadev, and it's so wonderful how the Bhagavatam is conversation within conversation within conversation. So you have Sutta and Shonaka. They're the latest in this parampara, who are, and Sukha is relating what he heard from Sukadev, who is conversing with Parikshit. And Shukadev is relating what Maitreya is saying to Vidura. And Maitreya is relating. So it's layer upon layer upon layer of hearing and chanting the Bhagavatam. So Shukadeva continues, Vidura thus offered obeisances unto the great sage Maitreya, and taking his permission, started for the city of Hastinapur to see his own kinsman, although he had no material desires. Vidura's pilgrim's progress. In a previous verse, Srila Prabhupada uses the term pilgrim's progress. I was also curious because those of you who are raised in America, perhaps, have heard this term, pilgrim's progress, because it's a it was a book by, and I this is not from my childhood memory, this is from Wikipedia.
John Bunyan wrote this book in 18-something. And it's a Christian allegorical story. The pilgrim is named Christian, and he leaves home. This is the common feature in all of the pilgrim stories. The pilgrim must leave home. The pilgrim must leave behind. The pilgrim, to be a pilgrim means to leave the comforts of your home and your family and to go on pilgrimage. In the case of the pilgrim's journey of Paul Bunyan, the pilgrimage does have many different places, the bog of desolation and various kinds of places, and he meets all kinds of people like futility and caution and so on. They all have very various names to indicate their characteristics and qualities. And he's directed towards something gate. Anyway, which is supposed to represent Jesus. He gets through this gate and there's a guide and leads him on, and finally he reaches paradise. So anyway, it's a whole pilgrim's journey. And Prabhupada uses that term, pilgrim's progress. And here we also hear in this verse, pilgrim's journey. But our pilgrim's journey, because we are also called to be pilgrims, all of us. We're called to leave the comforts of our material homes and enter the journey of a pilgrim. And where do we go in following in Vidura's footsteps? Where does a pilgrim go in the system of our understanding from the Bhagavatam? We go to the Tirthas. The pilgrim, as has been described here, and as Vidura is demonstrating, doesn't just wander, but he has a goal, he has a direction, and he takes advantage of his situation to go to the places of pilgrimage, the Tirthas. Now, the word Tirtha is an interesting word. In some Sanskrit dictionaries, again, this is grace of, not from, I'm not a Sanskrit scholar, but I looked it up. Tirtha can mean the ford of a river, a place where you cross over. And so it's taken to mean those places where the spiritual meet with the physical, where the spiritual energy makes contact with the physical energy. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, later in the 11th canto, and let's see if I have it here. I don't have any internet, so I'm not able to do this. The word Tirtha Dvayam is used, or two kinds of holy places. It's 11, 16, 19, and I got connected, so I can't see it. But I read it earlier. And these two types of places are what? The two types that are described are the Tirtha of the words. The Tirtha of the words of Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam itself is a Tirtha for us. The words, and this is the words we pray every day, the words, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, the words of the Guru, the words of the Bhagavatam, they're like a Tirtha, they connect us. And see, we hear here Vidura, in his pilgrim's progress, he visits various holy places. We don't hear much about that. What we hear about is when he meets Maitreya and hears the Bhagavatam. And then continues. one last go. Can I save my brother? He hears about the departure of all of the Kauravas. He hears about the departure of all the Yadavas. He hears about the departure of Krishna. And he thinks, let me try once more. You're alone now, Dhritarashtra. Will you hear now? Will you hear? Please, one more time, will you just hear? He meets Dhritarashtra. Finally, he hears. And he enters his own pilgrim's journey. So we are on, recalled to the pilgrim's journey, recalled to the Tirthas, recalled to make those connections, to utilize, to enter those Tirthas, not for the sake of just taking a bath. In one of these verses, or a purport later on, Srila Prabhupada refers to a song by Narottam Das Thakur called Anya Abhilasha Chari. Anya Abhilasha Chari. Giving up all other Abhilash. And there, in one of the verses, he says, Tirtha Yatra Parishram. Tirtha Yatra Parishram. Parishram means hard work, apavarga, right? Pa, parishram. Pa varga is, yeah, because it's pa varga. Pa, fa, ga, ma, I don't, but the fa is, what's it, fa, fale, what is it? Fa, fa. It's froth, but the Sanskrit is, Fena, and then Baya, so all these pavargas. So Parishram. So Narottam says, Tirtha Yatra Parishram Kevalam Mone Brahm. It's just your mind. To take, the people do this. We've seen it, those in Pundarik and other, those of Sankalpa and Atita who've lived in India. You've all seen how people, you know, in Mayapur, I don't know what the story is in Vrindavan, what the similarities are. In Mayapur, so who's lived it? Sankalpa's lived, Ragatmika, you've lived in Mayapur. You remember seeing the guys in orange coming with the pots on their, carrying pots and two pots of jaw? You remember? Yeah. So they're doing a vrat. They're carrying Ganga water to Shiva in Tarakeshwar, and they're going barefoot, and they're wearing these gumshas and orange. They're doing all this parishram to do their tirtha. They're doing tirtha with parishram. Maybe I'll do all this hard labor, and I'll get all this benefit from doing my tirthas in South India. They wear black. And they do all kinds of austerities, and some of them pierce nails through their cheeks, and they put barbs in their backs, and they do all kinds of things when they go on this pilgrimage, and they're going to gain all kinds of blessings. And Narottam says, it is kevala monerbram. it's just your mind. Sarva Siddhi Govinda Charan. That's where you'll get to your perfection, taking the lotus feet of Govinda. Sudrida Vishvasa Kori, Madamatsarya Kori Hari, Sarakoro Ananya Bhajan. So Narottam is saying, give this up. So to go on pilgrimage, or think of pilgrimage, or going on, which is often in the case, In India, people take up, okay, I'm going to do a pilgrimage for some particular purpose. I'm going to, in Vrindavan, they do Govardhan, right? In order to have a child or cure a disease or whatever. They may get the blessings, and they will get blessings. But will they get the ultimate blessing? Will they get freedom? Vidura's pilgrim's path was different. This verse says, why was he doing it? The verse today. Ratani cheri hori toshani. While so traversing the earth, while on his pilgrim's journey, unlike the Christian of Paul Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, who didn't know what to do. He was finding out. Vidura is already pure devotee of Krishna. And he uses this as an opportunity to simply serve the Lord, taking no care, living as an avaduta. So we may not be able to do that, to go and live as avadutas and traverse the tirthas of India barefoot without anything. Mahaprabhu did. He left without anything, a water pot. Prabhupada did. He left without anything. Came. Now it is a tirtha. I suggest that New York City has become a tirtha. It wasn't a tirtha then. Perhaps the opposite of a tirtha, where you want to see the connection between hell and this earth. Yeah, you can visit New York. But now, graced by his presence, because that's how the tirthas come. They come by the presence of those great devotees and the Lord himself. The last verse that we read today also speaks of New York, but not in a very flattering way, as the home of the United Nations. It's there. And yes, every year, I guess, they add another flag. I don't know how often flags are added. But there are lots of flags outside the United Nations. And the United Nations flag has not done too much. I mean, here and there, they've been able to do a little, policing. But nowhere as in the time of Maharaj Yudhisthira. But now New York is become important, not as the so-called capital of the world, United Nations, financial capital, so many ways it is the capital of the world. I've a little plug for New York. We learned that New York City is probably the biggest melting pot of cultures and communities in the world. 800 languages are spoken in New York City. So it is an amazing opportunity for spreading Krishna consciousness, and I feel privileged to be part of it these days. I encourage all of you to come and visit, and if you like, because the pilgrim's journey for us also means that I think practically everyone in this room and out there in YouTube land or wherever you are listening, but especially I'm looking around the room. We are all vanaprasthas, I think. Is anyone here not a vanaprastha? I, from what I can see, we're all in the vanaprastha ashram, correct? We're all at that stage of life where we're supposed to continue our pilgrim's path in the way of the vanaprastha. We are the pioneers of that ashram. Each one of us may do it in a different way. My wife and I have chosen to try out living again in the ashram. So we live in the New York City ashram. And they've been very kind to give us, you know, facility enough that it's okay. Others travel. But all of us are now at that stage where we must continue our pilgrim's path in service, trying to utilize every moment, trying to utilize every part of our occupation, because now we have only one occupation. As Grihasthas, we may have had various occupations in order to sustain our families. And of course, that's also service to Krishna. That is also devotional service. And it is all meant, varnashrama charavata, how does it go? Varnashrama charavata, vishnaradhanam. I really, memory is going. Anyway, for the satisfaction of Krishna, Vishnu Aradhanam Krishna. I think the word Toshini is in one of those Vanashram verses. Anyway, so Toshini, Hari Toshini, that's always the business and the occupation of every ashram. But the Vanaprastha ashram is supposed to be a facility to increase that, to add to it, to make more use of pilgrimage opportunities and service opportunities. So we can take inspiration from Vidura, inspiration from his attitude particularly, because we also may face various kinds of obstacles or in the way of Vidura, he had to overcome his identity as a member of the royal family. He had to give it up. He gave it up so completely that no one could even recognize him, because he was so much in the realm of a avaduta. So we may also have to give up so many different identities that we have developed in our grihastha life, and then enter into our full identity as the devotees of Krishna. Now, I wanted to give some time for reflections, but I've reached 9 o'clock. So I don't know. Do we have time for others to give their comments?
Yeah.
A few minutes? Yes?
Hands up.
Okay. Please, your reflections, your comments, and if there is a question, then I might be able to respond or someone may. Hare Krishna. Thank you very, very much. My wife and I were leaving on our way back up to New York via North Carolina, and we probably won't see you all in Alachua for another year or so, but we do hope to see you in New York or in Mayapur or somewhere. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for your really amazing class. I like the how you compared Vidura's journey to Srila Prabhupada's journey. I wanted to add one more thing to that after hearing you, is just like Vidura went back to Dhritarashtra to preach to him, Srila Prabhupada, he tried to do his preaching in India, but it didn't happen, and then he went to his other journey, but then he again came back to India. And just like Vidura was successful, so was Srila Prabhupada successful in his journey back to where he started off.
Yeah.
So just wanted to mention
Thank you.
That.
That's nice.
Just a quick point. I noticed it stated that he traversed Bharat Varsha. In my last class, I said that all the Puranas pointed that India is Bharatvarsha. But I said this is only theoretical now, because sometimes devotees have the concept that the whole world is Bharat. So, but I said all the Puranas stated it. And then we've seen Bhagavatam stated it divorced today, you know, so that really confirmed what I was saying. That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, the concept of Bharat Varsha, I mean, I was reflecting it out the other day, is that even today, well, not so much today, but certainly about 20 or 30 years ago, one could claim, and if it weren't the nature of the world as it is, but one could have claimed maybe 20 years ago that the United States ruled the world. When the Soviet Union fell apart, then that left only one superpower. So the U.S. at that time, now being a superpower doesn't mean so much, you know, because financial power and other powers are just as important. But the kingdom of Hastinapur, the emperor of Bharatvarsha, his emperorship extended throughout, as we've heard from the Bhagavatam, the whole planet. But that doesn't necessarily mean, that doesn't, I would suggest, that still the focus of Bharatvarsha, the focus of that kingdom, was what we now know as the region below the Himalayas and then bounded by the various oceans there. Because that's where the concentration of Krishna's pastimes are. And that's where it's the capital, it's the center, it's the of all this activity. So I would.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. I look forward to seeing all of you again, somewhere here, there, or at least. And I thank everyone, and I especially thank Srila Prabhupada for giving us the Srimad Bhagavatam and giving us this wonderful association of devotees and this temple of Shri Radha Shyama Sundar, Krishna Balaram, and Gaur Nitai, Lakshmi Srinivasa.